Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Layla, and we're so happy to have you here with us. But before we get into the Word, we're going to take a moment and pray. Lord, we thank you for today, and we thank you for everything that you've done for us, Lord. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins that we have in you, Lord, that you are willing to give us another chance, Lord, to walk holy before you, Lord. We thank you for this time in the Word that you're teaching us your heart and your motives, Lord, how you operate and how you want us to operate as well, Lord. We ask that you'll minister to us our needs, Lord, that you'll continue to guide us into all truth and show us things to come. And we just thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everybody. We're so glad to have you with us as we continue our study in the Word, focusing on the book or epistle of James. And this morning we're continuing our discussion on verses 12, in chapter 1, on verses 12 through 18. So whether you are joining us for the first time or you're rejoining us, I want to encourage you to pause the episode now and just take a moment to read through that section of Scripture, making things easier to follow along in the discussion. Amen.
Amen.
All right. And at this time, the floor is open to give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you and ask any questions that you have. So who'd like to begin?
I would.
All right, honey.
Okay. So I know that I've mentioned this before, that I love the practical nature of the book of James.
Amen.
But I really, what I want to articulate is the instruction that is listed. It is such a book that says, do this, don't do that. Here's how it looks when you're following and walking in the ways of God, and here's what it looks like when you're not walking in the ways of God. So it's really easy for the believer to come and compare where they are with the Word of God and get a good assessment of the progress that they're making. And, you know, just like we talk about this often, the Word is a mirror. So this book holds a mirror up, and it causes you, if you come into this book with the right attitude and the right mentality about it, the right, you know, behavior towards it, it will cause the light to be shown inside you so that you and God, you know, you can sit with the Lord alone by yourself and examine your motives, but also come out of this book feeling stronger and more equipped to do the things that the Lord is asking you to do. And it doesn't seem quite so mysterious to figure out what the Lord is asking for. So in this section of Scripture, I wanted to come back to verses 16, 17, and 18. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So the word of truth, that's also a part of the armor of God. Mm-hmm. And keeping this understanding in the forefront of your mind and of your heart, God is always telling us the truth. And we talked about before the comparisons, the Lord has to allow us to be tested, but he himself is not tempting us. Those are two different words, and they have two different contexts and connotations in the things of God. The Lord allows our faith to be tested. Are you going to choose him, and are you going to remain? Where the adversary is trying to tempt you, to get you to forsake your faith in Jesus Christ and to fall away and become captive to the adversary. So thinking about verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Put your mind in the right order. When you look out over the world, over your life, and over the things that are happening around you, put the truth in the forefront. Typically, humans, we believe the worst about God, and we are easily duped by Satan. We would rather believe that God is out to get us and he is against us and he's trying to keep us from having awesomeness or fun or good in our life. And he's just trying to hold us back and hold us down. And the devil is trying to make sure we have a good time. That's absolutely a lie from Sheol. That's a lie right out of the devil's mouth into the ears of the people who entertain it. And so James is writing to us as he's inspired by the Holy Spirit to turn what you have upside down, turn it right side up. Anything good in your life came from the Lord. That breath that you're breathing, the energy you have in your body, the money you have in your pocket or whatever, anything that's good and it's pure and it's not tainted came from God. But we would rather say, oh, look what I did for myself. Or it's anybody but God when the good comes. But when there's bad coming, we go, look what God did. Right? Even the people that deem themselves atheists and agnostics or whatever won't thank God when something good happens. But when there's something bad, they're shaking their fist into the heavens, cursing God because it was God's fault. Well, there's no truth in that. So I think it's one of the things that I love about the book of James is that it provides clarification.
Absolutely.
To what's the truth and what's a lie. And so if you're seeing trouble in your life, it's coming from you. It's coming from your mouth. It's coming from et cetera, which we'll get to in later scriptures. But if it's a good thing, it's a blessing. It came from God, our Heavenly Father, which you saw this, that same context referenced in Deuteronomy. He said, when I bring you into the good land, don't say that your hands have gotten you this wealth. Don't forget God. Don't be wicked and forget God. But remember, it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. And that he makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. So just that context of the truth being what surrounds our thoughts and guides us so that we understand and believe the right things. And God is not a Sour Patch Kid. God is not any of those false idols that, especially in American culture, has kind of been woven into what we perceive of God. Oh, he's going to, if there's something good, he's going to lightning bolt you in a moment, or we don't want God to strike you down, or, you know, wicked and ungodly things like that. When it says clearly and plainly here in verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation. There's no two-facedness in him or shadow of turning. Today he's going to be good, tomorrow he's going to be bad. No, he is only good. He only does good things. He only does righteously. And his works are good from the foundation of the world. He is only a good God, absolutely, all the time.
They are perfect. And I love that you brought up you said a lot of wonderful things, honey. But one in particular, where you were focusing on God and what we receive from him, right? Mm-hmm. And we cannot say that we've done any of it. Mm-hmm. So if we go to the book of Philemon or Philemon, depending on how you pronounce it, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to focus on verses 4-7, right? It's only one chapter, but verses 4-7 says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have towards the Lord and towards all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you, in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because of the hearts of the saints that have been refreshed by you, brother. So, this should cue us in to what we have received, what is good and perfect, that did not come from us. One is love, and the other is faith. Mm-hmm. It never came from us. We reciprocate it back to the Lord not just hearing what he has to say, but by being obedient. It demonstrates or reciprocates our love toward him, our faith in him now, and our future, our hope placed in him, mm-hmm. right? And how do we know it didn't come from us? Because the Bible says very plainly, God is love. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say we are love, mm-hmm. right? God is love.
Mm-hmm. It also says, in our flesh dwells no good thing.
Amen. So God is love. But then scripture also tells us that He, God, is faithful. Mm-hmm. We have not been faithful. Right? You see that throughout the entirety of Scripture and mm-hmm. beyond. Right? Mm-hmm. And I say beyond as in what we're experiencing today and living. Yes, I know it's covered in Scripture because all the way to literally the last day, right? The end of time is covered in Scripture. But I mean for today, for us today. We have not been faithful to the Lord. I mean people as a whole. Every generation, right? Are there some in there? Is there a remnant? Absolutely. In every generation, there's a remnant. But on the whole, people have not been faithful towards the Lord, which is why there we have seen, experienced, and read about in Scripture so much correction, direction, guidance, right? Or says the way Scripture phrases it, teaching, rebuke, correction, reproof, admonishment, encouragement, training, equipping, right? All of those things. But he's saying, look, back to James, every good and perfect gift from above. That's talking about love and faith. To each one's been given a measure of faith. Can it increase? Absolutely. But you've already received the love of God and faith, a measure of faith with which to move forward on. And because of those things, you've all and who the Lord is, you've also received above and beyond that, or abundantly, above all you could even ask or think. Is there more he desires to give? Absolutely. But the first things first, some of those things that have been picked up or been sown in your life as a result of not loving the Lord truly and not being faithful to him have to be uprooted so we can move forward. And that demonstrates the good and the perfect that we have already received. And what we read in Philemon or Philemon, depending on how you want to pronounce it, mm-hmm. right? He is saying, look, acknowledge these things. And that's for our own life as well. Acknowledge the Lord's love and his faithfulness in all that you've been blessed in, mm-hmm. right? John the Baptist, but also Paul, they say it in a similar way. What have you received? What do you have that you've not received? Mm-hmm. Right? They both say almost the same exact sentence. And then Paul even goes a step further and says, so if you've received it, why do you boast as if you earned it? So something for us to recognize and to sort out with the Lord, examine ourselves in. Do we think that, like Nebuchadnezzar, our hands made all this? Mm-hmm. And got us to the place we're at? Or are we willing and ready to humble ourselves and acknowledge all the good things, the wonderful blessings that the Lord has given us?
Mm-hmm. And I would like to tie what we were talking, well, what you and Mommy were talking about back to verse 2 and through 4. And it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let your patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And so, also going back to verse 12 through 14, talking about temptation. And Mommy, you were talking about how that it's more so a choice to whether or not we're going to give up what God has given us for subpar things. Things that the devil's trying to bring up. Mm-hmm. And yesterday we were talking about, on the off time, we were talking about the devil doesn't come to tempt people with things they're not interested in. Mm-hmm. And how oftentimes we mistake that and think that temptation is more so a automatic decision, and that we just have to walk it out. And the Lord was reminding me that he first reminded me of chess. For chess, it's more so, is that person willing to give up something so that you can defeat them? And especially, while it may seem big or grand, but it's ultimately a trap. It's more so baiting the opponent in order to get them to fail, or bait them to a place where you can defeat them. and a similar places right here. The Lord has already given us something good, going back to verse, where is it?
17.
Yes, about the perfect works. He's already given us that, and thinking about temptation, you do not receive it until after it's over. And then tying that back to verse 4,
mm-hmm.
about even with trials, it is an opportunity to learn, not just to quote-unquote feel good and friendly or fuzzy or just be smashed. It's an opportunity for us to learn and grow inside of God, so that God can bless us in the end, and also, more importantly, so that we may become more like God.
Mm-hmm. It every time, from God's perspective, every time we pass a test, we qualify for more. Right?
Yes, Mommy.
And we triumph over the works of the devil, but we qualify to receive that more that God wants to give us. On the contrary, on the other side of that, every time we fail, we don't qualify for more. And actually, it usually ends up in loss. Right?
Yes, Mommy.
So, I wanted to also bring up that, or Promise, were you still speaking, my love?
No.
Oh, okay. I also wanted to bring up that we have, in our minds, swapped the ungodly attributes that belong to Satan and applied them onto God. And we've taken the good attributes that belong to God and bestowed those upon the devil to say, oh, the devil must be doing right. We should believe him. And God is the one who's doing evil. And that's absolutely incorrect. And even the mindset that God will give a little good and then he'll give a little bit of bad to make things balance. That's evil and that's wicked, because the scripture tells us that he only does good things. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes from the Father of lights, not the Father of darkness, the Father of light, with whom there's no variation, there's no changing him, right? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he does not change. There's no shadow of turning. There's no time where he's turning his back to go, I'm going to hatch this little wicked plan over here and then spring it on these unsuspecting people. And sometimes as we read through the word of God, because of the way it's articulated and because of the lack of understanding and the lack of unity that we have with the truth about God and our belief in him, it looks like God is doing bad things because of the way they articulate it. But then as you read through the scripture books of James, they go, wait a second, this is in the New Testament and this is what it's saying about God. So then perhaps as I've read through the Old Testament, I may have misunderstood and misallocated attributes upon God that do not rightly belong to him. And those are actually attributes of the devil that should be properly pinned on the wicked one. And then I should bless God and agree with the truth about the true and living God, because I have clarification on what it seemed like people were saying beforehand. Does that make sense?
Yes, Mommy.
Yes.
Okay. So when we look at the book of Job, Job chapter 42, verse 8, at the end of it, he says, for I will accept him, talking about Job, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. So when we look at the book of Job, you may have heard it quoted in sermons, but you really need to go back and look at what God is saying. Look at the characters that are represented. Look at God, look at the devil, look at Job, look at his friends, look at even at that wicked one that the Lord doesn't even acknowledge, who talks at the end, who seems like he's saying good things. And then look at how God judges it to go, wait a second, I need to have extra clarification on what my thought process is. Typically, we say, oh, they sound philosophical. It must be right. It sounds poetic. It sounds pious. It must be right. But then God has a different judgment on it. And his judgment is the only one that's right. And then when you look at what he says about himself in Exodus 34, this is not a report of someone else talking about God. It's what he says about himself.
Right, which also says in verse 7, right?
Verse 7 of what?
Of Job 42, right? Oh, okay. He says, my wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has.
Mm-hmm. So in Job did not charge God with wrongdoing. But the friends, even though they sounded pious, even though they sounded philosophical, and it sounded like they were trying to defend God in some of their regards, they still said God was the one who was doing harm to Job. Well, we see in the first chapter of Job that no, it was the devil that was doing harm. It was the devil, and God had only wanted to promote Job and bless him with righteousness. So for us, as we look at the word of God, remember that this is the inspired word of the Lord, and the Lord is always leading us in truth so that we can understand him, we can walk with him, and that we have, again, that word of truth that leads us in the right way.
And if you have questions, bring it to the Lord first and foremost.
Amen.
And allow Holy Spirit to minister to you, right? Hold it up before the Lord. Something we talk about here fairly frequently about a misunderstanding what the scripture is actually saying. Mm-hmm. And many have misunderstood what the scripture is actually saying. So if you want to understand, hold it up before the Lord. Lord, what do you say about this? Mm-hmm. And let him reveal those things to you. Amen. Right? Even with Job. Job did misspeak. Now, he didn't blame God. But there were things that he didn't understand about the Lord that he thought he knew, right? Which is why he makes the statement and says, essentially, I have misspoke, right? I opened my mouth and uttered things that were too great or too beyond my understanding, right? I'm paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. But you'll see that when you go read that, the last four chapters of Job, right? Mm-hmm. When the Lord says, okay, I'll ask you and you tell me since you know so much, right? Mm-hmm. And Job had to, humble himself and acknowledge, look, I didn't understand everything, right? Mm-hmm. I thought I knew you, right? But these things were too great for me. Mm-hmm. So and the Lord has given us his Holy Spirit to teach us, right, and direct us, lead us into all truth and wisdom and knowledge, and to give us understanding, but also to tell us of things to come, right? Well, let's get the first thing first, right? Mm-hmm. We already have his written word, and just like Jesus, right, there was a whole different level of understanding. Mm-hmm. And we too can receive that. We don't get it from anyone else except the Lord. Mm-hmm. So if you are not sure, hold it up before him and allow him to walk you through his word. He spoke it.
Mm-hmm. I say, tell me the truth, Lord.
That's it.
And I always ask him, tell me the truth, Holy Spirit.
That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. And you will receive, right? Mm-hmm. And just like James says, when you believe, have faith without doubting. Mm-hmm. Right? Just hold it up before him. Lord, I know I've heard these things from a great many people, but what do you have to say about it?
Amen.
And believe the truth.
Amen.
So, a lot in there. Let's pause there for today. And with that, can I get a volunteer to close us out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right, Layla.
Lord, we thank you for today, Lord, and we thank you for showing us the truth just as you said that you would, Lord. We thank you for correcting our perspectives and understanding so that we understand who you are, Lord, and we understand what you are asking of us, Lord, and how to do it. We thank you for our partners and our listeners, Lord, that you are blessing them, that you are protecting them and providing for them, that you are leading and guiding them, Lord, and that they're able to successfully complete every mission that you've called them to do. So we thank you for those things, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
And amen. We love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about A Day of Prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop.
Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care and God bless you.